The opinions and views expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the KKFI board, staff, volunteers, or sponsors of KKFI and the Midcoast Radio Project, Incorporated.
Good afternoon. This is Sharon Lockhart. You're tuned to Every Woman on KKFI. Today's guest in the studio with us is Sarah Eckinger with Synergy Services, and she will be telling us about the services they provide to homeless youth. And largely, we will concentrate on domestic violence and perhaps teen dating violence. We've just learned this a big issue. But before that, we will hear from Beth Pike and reading Women's E-News.
Thank you, Sharon. We have news to cheer this week. Monet Davis' performance in the Little League World Series has earned her a place in baseball's Hall of Fame. The 13-year-old Davis plans to donate the jersey she wore last month when she pitched a two-hit shutout, becoming the first girl to win a game at the LLWS. Davis was only the fourth American girl to ever make it to the World Series. She regularly shut down hitters with her electric fastball. And Davis also became the first Little League player to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated. "Probably," she said, "like a couple of years from now, there'll be a lot of girls here, and then it won't be just like all boys. So they'll have to build another dorm for girls." So she feels it's a huge impact if more girls start playing. And more news to cheer this week. In the shadow of the national controversy swirling about athletes and domestic violence, the 14th annual Brides March led Dominica, African American, and also other women and men of color through the streets of Upper Manhattan to protest the consistently high number of victims in their communities. The march's composition reflected the change in the city's leadership, and this was brought about by the newly elected Speaker of City Council, Melissa Mark Viverito. She announced a gift of $6 million to support a program at a major neighborhood hospital that counsels domestic violence victims. She represents East Harlem and also the Bronx. From the Bronx, the head of the council's Public Safety Committee, Vanessa Gibson, joined the Brides March, as did other prominent city leaders. Adult females tend to account for more than 80% of the intimate partner victims, and that's according to a 2013 city report. The march is led by two Women's E-News 21 leaders for the 21st century, Josie Ashton and Rosita Romero, to commemorate the 1999 murder of Gladys Reichert. Now, she was slain in her wedding dress by an enraged ex-fiancé, who is a prominent businessman in the Dominican community. Responding to student pressures for better reporting on campus sexual assaults, Columbia University has now released their first annual report on such issues. It includes a summary of resources and prevention efforts provided by a school and a new policy statement, faculty and staff training, along with data for the period from July 1, 2013 to June 30, 2014. Columbia Daily Spectator activists reported this in September with the Coalition Against Sexual Violence and No Red Tape Columbia. They are demanding more comprehensive reporting in the future. The Ivy League school has recently been in the spotlight because of the multiple accusations they've had of mishandled rape complaints. Hundreds of students turned out for the campus rally in September. Emma Sulkowitz, a junior at the school, was one of the students who filed a federal complaint against the school, and she has been protesting by carrying a mattress around on campus. The U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights has not yet decided whether they're going to investigate. The government of Ethiopia, along with Finland and the UN Women, organized a high-level meeting in New York to discuss equal land access and tenure for women. Women's right to land, the development impact, focused on important steps needed to hammer out laws and practices to ensure equal rights to female landowners globally. The Ethiopian Foreign Minister Tedros Adhanom said that women's participation was important for for successfully reaching the UN's Millennium Development Goals. Governor Jerry Brown has signed a bill to prevent the forced sterilization of inmates in California after a failure to obtain consent. The bill prohibits correctional facilities from using sterilization as a form of birth control unless the inmate's life is in danger. The measure gained steam after reports that female inmates had their fallopian tubes tied even when they had not given informed consent. The bill passed unanimously and is expected to benefit the rights of women in California correctional facilities. One of more than 200 schoolgirls who were abducted by Islamist Boko Haram rebels in Nigeria was freed this week. Boko Haram gunmen took 270 girls and women from ages 13 to over 20 from a secondary school, and that was in April. The 20-year-old woman is now receiving medical attention. The Center on the Universal Education at the Brookings Institution has created a new group called CHARGE. That's the Collaborative for Harnessing Ambition and Resources for Girls' Education. This has pledged nearly $6 million to reach 14 million girls over the next 5 years. And former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton announced that launch at an annual meeting of the Clinton Global Initiative back on September 24th. Padmini Prakash has become India's first transgender anchor after she read her first bulletin last month on Lotus TV. Padmini dropped out of college after her family abandoned her at the age of 18, and her appearance comes nearly 4 months after India's Supreme Court recognized the existence of third gender status for the members of their transgender community, which is also known as Hiraj. The actress Emma Watson kicked off the He for She campaign, and she did so with a speech on gender equality at the UN in September. And Watson's campaign urges men to take a stand against gender inequality of all types. Feminine, she says, feminism, rather, is not just a woman's issue. She argued it's everyone's issue. She spoke about the myriad of ways in which girls and women are discriminated against in this world and how men, too, suffer from gender stereotypes. Britain's first specialist clinic for child victims of female genital mutilation opened in London on September 22nd as part of a push there to eradicate the illegal ritual in their country. The University College Hospital Clinic, initially to be held once a month while demands were assessed, will offer medical treatment and psychological help to girls up to 18 who have suffered or may be at risk of FGM. The clinic will work closely with police, social workers, and community groups and will provide evidence and expert witness statements for court cases. It will also help to identify and protect those girls that are at risk. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi asserted that there should be no compromise on the issue of dignity of women. Dignity of women is our collective responsibility. There should be no compromise in this matter, and we have to revive the family culture in which a woman is respected and considered equal. Her dignity is encouraged, he said. And some news to jeer at this week. Special representatives of the United Nations Secretary General of Iraq, Nikolay Medanov, condemned the public education of human rights lawyer Samin Anuhami. Now, Anuhami, a lawyer known for her work promoting women's rights, was seized from her home in Iraq by Islamic State fighters and was tortured for several days before being executed in public.
We are going to shorten the women's e-news, I think, today at this point, because we have so much to talk about today. Besides having a guest in the studio with us whose head was nodding vigorously at many of the news items as Beth read them, obviously well informed, Sarah Eckinger from Synergy House, today is the first day of our Every Woman's Fall Pledge Fund Drive. This is the time when we come to our listeners and ask you to support us as we have been supporting you over the years on the airwaves of KKFI with public affairs, social issues, women's issues, and always with a local flavor, such as Sarah here in the house with us today from a local organization.
We really do come in here with the community. The community is in our mind when we bring our guests in, and the guests are from the community, and our callers are participating in this conversation in the communities that they're in. It's really a fascinating experience to see all these people coming together and having a dialogue, and you really don't get that anywhere else.
And we welcome our listeners to call in, too, and join the conversation. And that is so refreshing to us. We learn a lot from our listeners. And right now we want our listeners to call in at 888-931-0901 with your pledge to KKFI and the public affairs programming that's offered here on the airwaves. So many people work so hard and are so passionate about their individual issue topics. The areas of concern, such as
Jaws
of Justice, wonderful program on Monday at 9 a.m. Tell Somebody,
yes, you've got that on Thursdays at 9 a.m., another public affairs program here on 90.1 FM KKFI. So call us. We're looking for our listeners to support us today, support our public affairs program, and you can do so by calling 888-931-0901, or you can go online.
KKFI.org.
That's right.
And anything that you have to give will support us. This is how we sustain this programming. This is how we are able to bring this programming to you. We have, in addition to getting great programming, we also have some actual tangible physical items that you can own for yourself. At the $25 donation level, we have a CD to give away, Patti Smith, which is always amazing. And at the $90 level, we have a collector's T-shirt from KKFI. And at the $150 level, you can have a guest DJ spot on your favorite music program. And at the $200 level, you can get all of the above.
And that'd be great. I mean, the guest DJ is an excellent gift, a gift idea, or if you're just a fan of wanting to come in and be on the air yourself, a gift to yourself.
And if it's something that you want to spread out over time, you can do our sustaining pledge.
That's right.
You don't have to give $200 all at once. You can give $5, $10 a month, $25 a month, whatever fits into your budget, whatever you value this fantastic community programming at. We will take it. We will run with it, and we'll continue bringing great things to you.
And we will multiply it.
Yes.
Yes.
So give us a call. The number again is 888-931-0901. Or we are taking donations online, kkfi.org.
But I bet the listeners did not tune in specifically to listen to us pledge drive to them today. I bet they're just dying to hear about Synergy House, as I am.
That's why we have our guests in the studio.
Good morning, ladies. Thank you for having me. Appreciate
Welcome.
It.
And so this is an interesting story, I think, about how they happened to be Synergy Services as our guest today. 2 weeks ago, I was at the Umplaza Art Fair. Talk about community and getting out there. A woman sat down beside me with a hot dog, and we started talking, and she was new here from Dallas. And I said, oh, how did you happen to come here? Why are you here? And so she announced that she was here at Synergy Services. And I said, oh, my God, you would be a wonderful guest for our radio show. And so lo and behold, she followed up with me on Monday morning, and referred us to Sarah Eckinger, who is the public spokesperson for Synergy Services. And so welcome, Sarah. We're really happy to have you here on the air. And tell us a wee bit or a whole lot about what it is you do.
It'll probably be a whole lot. Synergy, we do quite a few things in the community, and I know Synergy Services might sound like a funny name for a non-for-profit, but once I describe all of our services, it'll really start to make sense. So Synergy started back in 1971 as just a small non-for-profit. We opened up the first teen homeless shelter here in the Northland, and we've just kind of grown ever since. So we started at Parkville. They actually donated a house to us, and that's what we used as our teen shelter. It had about 16 shelter beds in it, and that was our main program for a really long time. And then throughout the years, we've kind of just acquired other non-for-profits or agencies that were kind of doing similar things, and we thought it would be a great thing for us to all combine and jump on board together. So we acquired Safe Haven, which is our domestic violence shelter. There's 30 programs. I'm not going to try to describe all 30 of them, but I will talk about the main ones, so which is Synergy House, as I said, which is our teen homeless shelter for youth between the ages of 12 to 18 who are experiencing homelessness, abuse through foster care, at home, whatever that looked like, couch surfing, just any young person that really doesn't have a permanent residency. They can come to Synergy House, and we can hopefully get their needs taken care of. Then we have Safe Haven, which is our domestic violence shelter, which was a program that was that we acquired. And that is our domestic violence shelter for adult women who are experiencing domestic violence or abusive relationships or intimate partner abuse, however you want to identify it. And it's a shelter for them and their children. They can come in the shelter as well. We also have a children's center, which is really a shelter for youth under the age of 12. That's also a crisis center. So if you have a mom or a parent that is experiencing hardship, maybe I'm going through addiction and I need to go to rehab and I have nowhere else to take my child, I can actually take them to the children's center and drop my young child off for up to 30 days and be able to come back and pick up my child and go from there. It's also the first place that kids a lot of times will go before foster care as well. So that's our children's center. We also have a really cool drop-in center called the YRC, which is located at I-35 and Parvin Road. That's actually our brand new youth campus. So that is now where our teen homeless shelter is located, plus our drop-in center. They're right next to each other. We opened that facility about 4 years ago, and we encourage everyone in the community, it doesn't matter where you live, to come in and check out the drop-in center because it is astonishing. And there's nowhere else in the metro like it. So that drop-in center is open to every young person in the metro. I don't care if you live in Gardner or St. Joe or wherever. It's really open to any youth here in the metro area. And that's open Monday through Thursday, 2:30 to 6:30. It is closed on Friday, and we're not open on the weekends either. But that center has a recording studio. We have an indoor basketball gym. We have a computer lab, a massive art studio. We also have activities. We do cooking classes. We do financial classes, you know, skills. We have an Xbox Kinect. We do video games. We do all those fun things. And so really it's just a place for kids to come in and connect with one another and then even connect with maybe resources that are out there in the community. So we have other people that come in and host groups. We also do snack there at 4 o'clock every day. We have showers there. We have a full laundry facility there. So it, like I said, it's for every youth. You don't have to have problems or not. You can just come in and simply hang out with other peers. Or maybe I'm needing to do laundry because maybe my parents, maybe our water got shut off, or maybe we don't have a laundry facility and we can't afford to go and spend however many dollars on laundry. So they can come there and really hopefully get their needs met as well. And then we have a street outreach team that will go out and pick young people up in the community. So if they need to come to the center, or maybe I'm a young person and I need to go to a doctor's appointment, our street outreach team, they can schedule those things with them as well. We also partner with Children's Mercy and Miles of Smiles in that facility as well. So Young people, we know that are experiencing homelessness, obviously they're not seeking health health or dental care. So this can actually be their primary care physician. It's the same doctors every week. They're there every week. We have random hours, so we go late in the evening, early mornings to work with people's schedules. And it's not a walk-in center. They do have to call and make an appointment, but it can be their primary care physician, which is very cool. And we just extended the ages of the services that we provide there from 5 years old to, I do believe, 20 years old. So, and then we also have what I do, which is I do public education on teen dating violence. So I go in and hang out with teenagers every day of my life, which makes me a little crazy. And but I love. And we discuss healthy and unhealthy relationships. So really talking about that because it's all about prevention. And then we also have a thrift store, which is on North Oak Traffic Way up here in the Northland. And basically that was opened 8 years ago specifically to meet our clients' needs. So they can come in there and get clothing, they can get shoes, they can get, you know, their basic houseware needs. So tables, blankets, you know, linens, different things that they might need to basically start their life over. So it's very cool and we're excited to, you know, be able to provide those kinds of things for our clients. And then, of course, just the general therapy, counseling. We have a batterer's intervention program, which we can talk about later on. But that's kind of synergy in a nutshell. So we're really coming here.
Is there anything you don't provide?
Oh, my gosh. I am blown away.
So hence the name Synergy. If a person comes in seeking a one type of program for us, we really want to wrap our arms around them and be able to provide all the service they need, not just one service. Because as we know, if you are homeless or seeking, you know, housing, it's pretty hard for me to get one service here but have to drive somewhere else to get another service met. So we really try to be, you know, just encumbering and wrap our arms around our clients.
I was listening because I was thinking earlier today, I've got utensils, you know, pots and pans in my basement that I'm not using, and I was thinking I really need to get down in that basement. I've got pillows, like decorative pillows, and things that I no longer need. I've got towels that maybe aren't in as good a shape as they used to be in that are kind of cluttering up my closet that I'm not using. Are those the kinds of things you would take? And do you have a truck that comes to pick up, or would someone bring it to you for your thrift store?
Excellent question. So we take all of those things that you just named, and those are really the things that we're seeking, especially talking about pots and pans and utensils and bedding and, you know, towels and different things like that, pillows, huge. So we do take all of those things, absolutely. So you can just drop them off at our thrift store. We'll come help unload your truck or your car. And then we do pickups, but we are a small thrift store. We only have about 5 staff. They are wonderful, wonderful staff. Unfortunately, we get busy. So we do pickups, but it has to be large enough. There's got to be large items like furniture and lots of different things. So we actually have a big box truck that we use to do large pickups. So if you have a couple bags of clothes, unfortunately, we probably can't do pickups for that because, you know, we would be out all day every day. But for larger stuff, absolutely, absolutely.
So how would they get a hold of you?
Excellent question. So you can go to Synergy's website, which is Synergy, S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y, services.org. And then at the very bottom of the page, you'll see thrift store. You can click on that, and you can call our number, or you can send us an email. But most people just call and set up an appointment. So the phone number is 816-468-0404, and that's our thrift store. So you just call, and I actually manage our thrift store as well, so you'll probably get a hold of me, and we can set something up.
Okay, our guest today is Sarah Eckinger with Synergy Services, and we've just been wowed by all of the services that are provided, and it just sounds fantastic. And how many, well, let's stop right here and see. I believe we have some people to thank.
Yes. Thanks, Dad.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And also, we have a collective gift of cash from some Johnson Wyandotte County Now members to thank them for. And also, Betty Jo Mooney gets a T-shirt. and we're happy to have her back as a recurring donor, and I think Dad is a recurring donor too. So thanks to Dad.
Dad or Mom.
Dad or Mom, yeah.
And thanks to those who are listening to our public affairs program. Obviously, you're interested in these type of informative issues, and so you're tuned in here to 90.1 FM. We are doing our pledge drive. This is our fall pledge drive, so we're looking for people to call in at 888-931-0901. Or if you'd like to donate online, you can do so by going out to kkfi.org. We have this hour to give away. We've got some CDs for a $25 donation. We have Patti Smith's CD, Outside Society.
And we only have two more CDs left. So if you'd like one of those CDs, now would be the time to call because they are almost gone. It has been a popular item.
And I have a note here that says we have an anonymous matching pledge for $250. An anonymous donor is going to match pledges up to $250. If you'll call in now, your gift will double for this generous anonymous donor.
And it will double not just for every woman, but for all of this public affairs programming that is so valuable to us and the whole community, and for KKFI as a whole.
So please, since we've got the anonymous donation going on, call us at 888-931-0901. Your donation will be matched. That's fantastic.
And once again, if you would like to spread your payments out and become a sustaining donor, you do not have to scramble together for a large donation all at once. You can pay a little bit every single month and just know every month that you are one of the people who's bringing community programming to everybody out there in the Kansas City metro area.
And it's really painless because it'll go on your credit card every month, a $10, $15, $20 contribution that you would hardly notice on a monthly basis.
But we notice here.
Absolutely.
We notice, and we really thank you for those, even those small pledges, just a few dollars a month.
Every little bit adds up.
Go a long way to keep the lights on and that tower transmitting these wonderful radio waves to you.
We are pretty low budget here. We don't waste very much money at all, if any. We certainly try not to waste any money. And we've been on the air since 1988 because of the generosity of our listening audience and keeping us on the air. And so we're asking you now to make that phone call. Take time to do it right now. We need you to call 888-931-0901. We know there are a lot of people out there who listen to us because they call us during our programs. We need those people who call us to call now with a pledge. 888-931-0901.
You know, the callers really are what drive this program. And a couple weeks ago, we had some callers who called in to report that their mind had been open to new ideas and new understandings. And
Brother Ron was one of the callers who had called in.
Yes, and the way women's issues affect everyone in society, how they're not really just issues for women, that they're all of us. And we get a lot of men that call in and contribute to this conversation in very meaningful ways. And I'd love to see some pledges come in from those that are really helping to drive this conversation.
We do. We appreciate those calls, and we appreciate the input from the male aspect of it when we're talking about feminist-type issues. So, again, the phone number is easy to pledge your support, 888-931-0901. If you're streaming this audio and you're listening at home, you're right there on the website, kkfi.org. You'll see a little blue button, and you just press that to donate.
So one more time, the phone number to donate is 888-931-0901. We have some wonderful volunteers waiting to take your pledges right now, so call and maybe get some nice gifts in return. can sport your new KKFI Collectors T-shirt and wow all of your friends.
Can also have a chance for the guest DJ spot. That's for $150 donation. You get to be a guest DJ. You can come in, program your own music. You'll sit with one of the programmers. They'll run the board for you, but you'll get to play all your favorite hits and back announce them. And that's just for $150.
And there's a lot of really cool shiny buttons to look at. I can tell you that. You want to sit on this side of the microphone. You will be wowed.
And Amy Bell, our engineer and illustrious co-host, and thanks to her dad Bell.
Yeah, Hamilton.
Dad Hamilton. I knew that. Silly me, for heaven's sakes. Of course. And now back to Sarah Eckinger from Synergy Services. We asked you on today, and you have so many things you can talk about. And I know if we just go briefly, what something that Corky told me when I met her 2 weeks ago was the number of homeless children in Kansas City that are accounted for, and then the estimated number, that you think the numbers are unrepresentative of the real number. Do you want to share those briefly with us?
Yeah, so when we started One Homeless Night, we kind of jumped on to that national campaign, and we really are the ones that do it here in Kansas City every year. So we do a One Homeless Night metro-wide sleep out. And we try to get about 2,000 youth to participate in that one night sleep out, because that's kind of the number that we were basing off on how many youth we are estimating are homeless in Kansas City alone every single night. And youth homelessness looks so much different than adult homelessness. Youth are resilient, they're smart, so you're not going to see a lot of homeless youth sleeping out on the streets or on, you know, the stereotypical thoughts of what we think homelessness looks like sleeping in a cardboard box or anything like that. Youth are resilient. They're going to find somewhere to sleep. But we use homelessness or homelessness is really not having a permanent residency, not having that place every night where you go to lay your head down to go to sleep. So whether that's couch surfing, which is pretty common when we talk about youth homelessness. And so we, in 2008, that was kind of the number that we were basing off, 2,000 youth in Kansas City every night that are experiencing homelessness. But just speaking with some of the school districts here in the Northland, they have about 800, you know, per one school district. So we know 2,000 is probably not a real representative number of actually how many youth are experiencing homelessness here. So we're estimating it's probably closer to the 4,000 range of youth who are actually experiencing homelessness. So it's a large number. It's unfortunately due to hard economic times, you know, it's just almost an epidemic at this point. And most people who are adults and still experiencing homelessness, that cycle really starts pretty early on, around the age of 6 or 7 is when the first time most people start experiencing youth homelessness. Because if my parents are homeless or my mom's homeless or my dad's homeless, that obviously means me as a child, I too are going to be homeless. So really that cycle starts so very early on.
And you also said that 40% of this homeless youth are probably due to the fact that they have told their parents that they are lesbian, gay, transgender.
Right. So a large portion of the teen homeless population that we see through Synergy, and I'm sure this echoes all around the metro as well, is our young people that have self-identified as being LGBT, which is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. That is a high homeless population due to parents maybe not supporting who they want to love or their sexual orientation, and just, you know, not being okay with that. So whether that's actually kicking them out of the house or just abusing the young person because they have self-identified that way. But that is a huge population that we see in our teen homeless shelter.
Wow. Just briefly remind our listeners that we have that $250 matching pledge. If you call in your pledge, we have an anonymous donor that will match that pledge up to $250 of however many callers it takes, 10 callers or 15 or 20 callers, up to $250, that pledge will be matched, and that would be so helpful to our public affairs programming here at KKFI. So we urge you to please call in at 888-931-0901. If you've been listening to KKFI and have never called in, become a new member and call in and let us know you're a new member of KKFI, and we will announce your name on the air or not, whichever you prefer. And, of course, we'd love to send you a gift at the $25 level. I think we still have a CD left. And at the $90 level, the T-shirt. What's the theme, Amy, for the T-shirt this year?
Well, it says, for the people, by the people.
That's KKFI.
Yes.
Because we are for the people, and I think our guest today is an example of that, just meeting someone out in the community and asking them on the air. So let's go back to Amy and remember to call that phone number.
Well, it is 888-931-0901, and I have to send out another special thank you to my husband, Lucas, who has called in with a donation.
Oh, your family is really coming through.
I know. I think that, you know, heard my dad come and support, and he said, I am too.
Oh. And that would be Mr. Bell.
Yes, that is Mr. Bell.
Yes. So Mr. Hamilton and Mr. Bell have called in, and now we're looking for Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones to call us with a pledge, or whatever your last name is. Or it could be Ms. Smith and Ms. Jones, too, for that matter. So call us now at 888-931-0901. We need you to call us now, 888-931-0901. And now back to Sarah. Sarah, you obviously have so much information and so much that you're providing there. I'm wondering, how on earth are you able to support all these services?
Synergy, we do have a lot, and we're pretty lucky, and we can thank, you know, our community members and other organizations that help support us. So Synergy is not out there in this fight alone. We have a lot of great partners in the community that we work with, so we thank them as well. But, you know, Synergy thrives and survives off of private donations, corporate donations. We survive off of state, federal grants as well, county grants, county monies. So we have a lot of people that see the value in what we do, and we are so grateful for the Kansas City area for really getting that this is a problem and that we need to do something in our community about it. So we just thank everybody that's out there that supports what we do. We couldn't do it without them.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit because it's so prevalent right now, domestic violence. And let's talk a little bit about what you see in that arena.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we're thankful but not thankful. Ms. Palmer, I hate to keep using her name. It seems like you're traumatizing the poor woman every time you try to tell her story. But, you know, we're thankful that it brings such a important topic to so many people, the masses, and people really understanding that domestic violence is an epidemic. It is something that affects everyone. It doesn't matter what color you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how educated you are, what your color, what your creed, what your religion. It does not matter. It affects everybody. And so, you know, to have the spotlight on it right now, also October is, you know, conveniently Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So it's just such an important topic, and you know, and right now it's a hot topic, obviously. So we're glad that it's out there in the community and that people are starting to recognize that this is something that's going on, and it is a big deal, and it's everybody's problem.
What makes it so hard for people to see domestic violence the same way as they see violence?
I think a lot of people want to say that it's not my problem. You know, that's an intimate thing. That's between that couple. It's not my issue. I need to leave it alone. I shouldn't meddle in someone else's business. You know, whereas it might be a stranger or my friend being physically assaulted or emotionally assaulted by a stranger, then, you know, you want to run to their rescue. Whereas a lot of times when we see it between intimate partners, we kind of just shy away and we're like, oh, that's between them. That's their issue. That's their deal. You know, I don't really know what's going on in that relationship. So it's so hard for people to feel like it's their place to do something about domestic violence.
Do people maybe think, oh, they maybe deserve to get hit?
Sure. That is, you know, a lot of people, what did she do? What did she say? What buttons did she push? You know, did she start it first? You know, so many excuses. Unfortunately, in our society, as we know, we're a victim-blaming society. Because it's hard for us to think that people are innately bad or want to do harm to other people like that, especially someone that they say they care and love about. So it's easier for me as an outsider to sit there and believe that they did something to deserve that behavior than it is for me to think that that person's just a bad person that's doing harmful things to someone that they love. It's all about mind games, you know, and convincing ourselves that people don't truly want to harm people that they care about. It's just they did something to deserve that behavior.
I can say as a victim of domestic abuse many years ago, I was so negatively impacted by the vicious name-calling and the things that were said to me, and then the hitting. I had a couple of black eyes, a broken nose, lots of broken things around the house, you know, throwing things in his anger. And it took me quite a long time to get out of that. He happened to be what's called a periodic alcoholic. And with the help of Al-Anon, I was able, after a 10-month period, to develop the strength to stand up for myself at a point and get out of it. But it's so difficult for women to do this on their own. And people have a tendency to say, well, she'll just go back to him. You know, it's and don't I hear it takes about 5 times for a woman to get the courage to finally leave?
First of all, I want to say thank you very much for sharing your story. I know how hard that is, so I really appreciate that. So thank you very much. Yes, so they say actually it's about 7 times that the average woman, it'll take her leaving and going back before she finally stays gone. And I think to understand domestic violence, you kind of were describing it. I think a lot of people are like, well, you know, I would never put myself in that situation. If those things happened to me, I'd leave, I'd be gone. But we really need to understand the cycle of abuse, which is kind of what you were almost explaining a little bit. So an abuser's smart. They're savvy. They're witty. They're charismatic. You know, and most abusers aren't going to start abusing right away. They're going to keep you what they call in this honeymoon phase for as long as they feel like they need to. They want to get your love, your support, your commitment, your trust, right? And they want to get all these things before they start to, you know, try to push your boundaries, see what they can get away with. So the cycle of abuse starts out in this honeymoon phase, and that could be weeks, months, or years before someone ever becomes abusive to their partner, their wife, their, you know, significant other. And then after they feel like they have that person, then they kind of start pushing the boundaries, see what I get away with. Maybe that's name calling. Maybe that's put downs. Basically, I want to destroy your self-esteem and your confidence. I want you to get to a point where you start to believe that you deserve these things, because as we know, emotional abuse is just as damaging as physical abuse. It's just as harmful. It affects people. You know, it's something that sticks with people forever as well. So once they get to that point, we call it the tension building stage, because now you're kind of angry on how things are going, and now the abuser's angry because they don't really care about you. They don't care about your thoughts or your needs or your wants or your wishes. It's all about them, and now they need to show you that it's all about them, and that's what we call the explosion stage, really that power and control stage. Now I need to do something to you to show you that I have power over you. So whether that's threats or physically harming you, basically making you scared of me and letting you know that I have power. And it's that vicious cycle, because once after that explosion stage happens, then you're right back in the honeymoon. They're apologizing. I'm so sorry. I promise it'll never happen again. You know I love you. You know, please stay with me. I promise I'll change. It'll get better, right? We hear all these things, all the things we want to hear when we love somebody else. We want to think that they're going to change because they love us enough to make sure it never happens again. So we stay. And we don't want to believe that we're victims. So we stay, and then we're right back in the honeymoon, and things are great for a little bit, but then we go right back to tension, right back to explosion. It just repeats itself. So it's important to understand that no one ever starts off being abusive right away. Most people are with that person for a while before anything abusive ever happens. So they say that people are often beaten down emotional abuse, right? They're beaten down with emotional abuse way before they're ever beaten up. And that's a great quote because that is absolutely how abuse works. They say someone will be emotionally abused 300 times before physical or sexual abuse ever comes into the picture. So we have to understand how abuse works in order for us to start to understand what victims are going through.
That is a great quote. And the patterns, to see the patterns that are going on in abusive relationships. I mean, what you're saying here is this person is premeditating how they're going to process.
Absolutely, it's premeditated. Yes, and most people think it's a fluke thing or they have anger management issues. Most people who have anger management issues cannot control themselves in any moments of anger, whether I'm angry at my parents or my significant other or my teacher or my boss, my coworker. I'm going to express myself almost the same way every single time. Most abusers do not have that issue. They can control themselves around everyone except for the person they're in a relationship with. And if that's how you are behaving around your significant other, then I'm sorry, you don't have anger management issues at that point. Because if you can control yourself with everyone except that one person, it is not considered anger management.
I am blown away because she just sat here earlier and said, well, really domestic violence is not my exact forte. I've not been working in that area. And I have never, I don't think ever, and we've talked about it lots of times on Every Woman over the years, this a marvelous description.
Thank you. So I did do domestic violence education for another DV shelter here in the metro, and I can't give a shout out to all six DV shelters here in the metro. We work so closely together. We are one large family, and I think a lot of people think us as competition. We are not. We are here for women in our metro, and we want every woman to feel
safe.
Can
you give that hotline number, by the way?
Yes, absolutely. I have it right here. That this hotline actually goes out to all six DV shelters here in the metro. So, and then each shelter takes turns one week throughout the month that they actually have the calls come to their particular shelters. So, 1 week during that month it'll be Safe Haven, and next month it might be Rosebrook, or next week might be Rosebrook, so on and so forth. So, Safe Home, New House. We love them all. So a big shout out to all of them. So that toll-free number for the abuse hotline is actually 1-800-491-1114. So that's the hotline number.
Let's say that one more time, just in case somebody needs that number and
Absolutely.
Didn't catch the beginning of it.
Absolutely. That number is 1-800-491-1114.
And Amy, let's make a note of that and include that weekly in our lineup on Every Woman, too, that we put that hotline number out there.
That's a great idea.
There's also the six DV shelters come together, and they actually have a coalition, and they have a website, and it's called Escape Abuse, and that is all six shelters coming together to have this one website. You can go to each shelter's individual website, of course, but escapeabuse.org, which is O-R-G, that is the main website that really the six shelters came together to combine and have a resource for women.
Well, we are really quickly coming up on running out of time, and I'm really happy to be talking about domestic violence during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and especially the way that you've put it in this, it's not something that just happens to these people. It's not something that just happens spontaneously. It's premeditated. And it's something that is just out there lurking in our world right now, and it doesn't just surface when it's happening with football players. It's there all the time.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, abuse is a learned behavior. People who are showing abusive behaviors, they pick that behavior up somewhere. So men who are raised in abusive households are twice as likely to be adult abusers themselves. So abuse is a learned behavior, and we need to understand that. If our children are witnessing it, they are more likely to continue those exact behaviors when they enter teenage relationships. It's also, you know, why a lot of young people are bullying as well. We know that that's all related. It's all related. Bullying, teen dating, violence, domestic violence, it's all related because abuse is a learned behavior.
Well, I think we've got one more donor to thank. We've got a little station break we have to take, and we're about out of time.
Well, let us thank Ruth in Andover, Kansas, who is obviously listening over the Internet. She gave generously to Every Woman and KKFI, and we thank Ruth. And we thank our guest, Sarah Eckinger, from Synergy House, and we need to make an appointment with you to be back in November to talk about your youth program.
I would love it. This youth has been awesome. I appreciate it.
Okay, great. How much time do we have left, Amy?
We have 5 minutes.
Enough time. Well, it's time for us to start our outro music almost, but we do have enough time yet for some phone calls to come in on that toll-free line, 888-931-0901. Call us now. Make your pledge for the programming on KKFI that you love. I'm particularly proud of the Saturday afternoon programming on KKFI and think we reach about 70% of the community with the type of programming we have, lesbian, gay, transgender, women's, and black minority programming, which I think pretty much is relevant to about 70%, if not more, of the community out there.
And how all these groups that get relegated to special interest groups in the general media, they all come down and they call in and we're all talking together on Saturday afternoons here. And that is just an amazing thing that really isn't happening anywhere else but KKFI and our public affairs programming.
And next up is Donna Wolf with Urban Connection, and MC Richardson will be followed. And Amy, we were remiss. We forgot to announce at the beginning of the show that we have the voter registration through October 8 right here at KKFI, business hours 9 to 4. And today we'll be registering voters until 5 p.m., and I apologize to MC for not mentioning that at 3 o'clock, but better late than never. So, again, that number to call is 888-931-0901.
All right.
Thank you.
Get your instrument and play along.
Funding for KKFI provided by Music Together, an early childhood music and movement program for babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and the grown-ups who love them. Now found in over 2,500 communities around the world. Our three-day teacher training workshop will be held in Kansas City, October the 11th through the 13th. Learn our research-based approach and how you can join our teaching learning community. More information is at musictogether.com.